This is the DayZero update for January 27th, 2019. I'm Felipe Bonalfa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And this is an interesting week because we have some strange news, good news, bad news, and a release that, well, has been hotly anticipated for like a decade.
Probably a little over a decade, to be honest.
Yeah. This is very much like the last year where we can actually say that can actually say that Kingdom Hearts 3 is a game that's coming out. By this time next week, it'll be out.
By this time next week, I will have been playing it for a couple days.
Yeah. So, it's going to be very interesting. We have a little bit of shenanigans to go along with that, but
I'm just, I can't believe it, man. Freaking the first Kingdom Hearts game came out when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now 32 going on 33. You know, that's how much time has passed between then and now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can look at my Amazon emails for this pre-order I've had since, I think, 2015 that I got for discount at $41. And I got an email the other day, I'm trying to see if I can find it, and I was like, and it made it look like they were going to cancel it or something, and no, it was just like, hey, we got a date for this thing now.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, I was like, oh, my pre-order is almost 4 years ago exactly to this day.
4 years. That's insane. But at least they're honoring the price, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have that to look forward to this week, along with, nothing really. That really is the big release
of
the week.
Yeah, that's pretty much all.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't blame anyone else for wanting to get in trying to hone in on Kingdom Hearts' Thunder there, because
I pre-ordered it on January 26, 2015.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, 4 years. That is
guaranteed delivery date Thursday, December 31st, 2015.
That didn't happen.
No.
I wonder if you can get a discount by saying that they missed their guaranteed debt.
Yeah.
Hello, Amazon, 4 years ago. I got problems with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's worth asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be.
Next email I got the other day just says, your Amazon.com order, and then has the number. And I'm like, oh, God.
What did I order? Did
somebody steal my account? What's going on?
Yeah.
It's like, we have received new release date information. Oh, you just got this in December.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the order you placed on January 25th, 2016,
2015. Nice.
Oh, thank you for getting around to that.
Yeah. Square. So, yeah. So we've been up to that much this week. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's been kind of quiet. Been doing my usual Raspberry Pi thing. I discovered another retro platform that I've been messing with called Battocera. It's got an interesting philosophy in that it's a lot more locked down than RetroPie. It's the front end is emulation station, and you can't change it. It has stuff built in like PS3 wireless drivers that are already included, so that's real nice. You can't add cores. It's basically what you get in there is what you get. Advantage of that is that it's really lean and runs quite well. The disadvantage is you don't have a heck of a lot of customization that you can do. So, I'm probably just going to move back to RetroPie because there's a lot more options for me there, and that's what I'm going to focus on now. I did like the out-of-the-box wireless drivers, but, you know, it's only a couple of steps to get those installed on RetroPie, so that's been one of the things I've been up to. And then, of course, I've been diving headfirst into the whole Doom thing, as you guys have heard from me a couple times already. Yeah, this week it's been mostly learning about the decorate scripts and what was the other one? I did decorate and figuring out how textures are actually handled by the engine. So, yeah, that's been fun. I think by the end of this, I'm probably going to know a whole lot about the Doom engine. So, 25-year-old engine, but hey, I'll be an expert at it. So, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, there's been that. And, of course, my usual gaming of Tetris Effect. You know, I did the weekend ritual, got a few avatars. Yeah, progress on those is a little bit slow now, because once you have over 100 avatars, the likelihood that you're going to get new ones is starts to diminish. So, I'll get there eventually. But you know, at least if you do get a duplicate, that just gets converted to XP. So it's not a huge loss. So it's a lot of fun. Been doing that. Been doing Defense Grid 2 some more. Yeah, the Switch version was announced a couple of weeks back, so yeah, we'll see how that one turns out. It's starting to look like I really need to get a Switch.
Yeah,
but I don't want to. Not right now, anyway. Yeah, because I've got this very sneaking suspicion that Nintendo might at some point in the not so distant future put out a screenless Switch. And that might be very interesting, because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that never take their Switch out of the dock.
Yeah.
So
I'm almost one of them.
Yeah. So you've actually taken it out a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Only to take it across the room, but
yeah. It's still kind of nice to be able to do that. Just kitchen table or whatever. Just you have it there with you. So that's pretty much been it for me. How about you, Pat?
I've just been playing Stormblood all week, to be honest with you. This is probably the hardest I've ever binged on Final Fantasy XIV. I just got Ninja to level 70 last night, so that's the first time I've ever capped a job other than Dragoon. Mm-hmm. So that's been interesting. I'm working on Samurai now, but I've got a long way to go on that one. I'm only at 54.
Yeah.
And the job quest line for Samurai is a real ball breaker at 54. Yeah. Like, if you just go into Google and type in Final Fantasy 14 Samurai level 54, you'll pull up a bunch of threads of people asking, how the fuck am I supposed to beat this boss?
Yeah.
So what I'm probably going to do is level up a couple more times and then gear out to go back there, because that guy hits like a freight train.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've also been helping Teresa with Summoner, because she's right around the same level my samurai is.
Right.
And that puts her on the main quest line about halfway through, or coming up on halfway through Heaven's Ward, which is my absolute favorite part of the game to this day. And it's nice to be able to go back to some of those boss fights and some of those old dungeons and experience them again, because Heaven's Ward was just such a good expansion. But, it's been my week.
Yeah, all right. How about you, Brandon?
Still basically the two things I've been playing the last couple of weeks, Rocksmith and Starlink. I brought this up on last weekend, but I'll go ahead and bring it up again. I've talked about how the guitarcade in that game is probably, next to the actual lessons, is probably the best tool that game gives you in learning how some of the basics and being able to develop the muscle memory required to play the instrument. And I'll point out one particular game, which is in the guitar game, which is called Return to Castle Cordred. And what it is it is basically Typing of the Dead, but with guitar chords. And how it works, it is literally like an entire send-up of House of the Dead, right down to, you know, the fact that all the character models are static and show no emotion or anything. with the cheesy voiceovers and stuff. But basically how it works is when the game starts, the first thing you do is you come across this thing called a rune stone. And the rune stone will show you a chord that you're supposed to play, and then you strum that chord a bunch of times until, you know, the rune stone crumbles in the dust, and then it gives you a bunch of points and the power of that chord. And up until you find the next rune stone, that's the only chord you have to use against the zombies. But then you'll find another rune stone, and it'll have a different chord you have to learn to play. And now all of a sudden you've got zombies that will require one of two different chords to attack them. And each of, much like with Typing of the Dead, where, you know, when a zombie showed up, you had to type out the, you know, the word or phrase or whatever that's on there to kill the zombie. Here it'll show you what chord you need to play. So, like, for example, the very first chord you learn is an FS. Or it could be an F5. I don't know. The lettering isn't really good on there. But, and all that is it's the second and third strings on the top pressed down at the second fret. And you just strum the top three strings. But then you'll get AS or A5, I don't know, later on. And that is basically the same thing as the first one, except it's the two strings below the ones that the FA is. Hmm. And then it'll eventually get to, like, more complicated ones like FA, which is where you've got, like, your finger on the top string on the first fret, and then your pinky and your ring finger on the second and third strings at the third fret. It gets more complicated like that. But let me tell you, this game is really good at getting you to learn that muscle memory. Especially when you get to, like, the bosses, because they basically utilize all the chords you've learned up to that point to fight them.
Hmm.
And other than that, there's Starlink, and I think I've finished the main campaign for that one. For Starlink, and I also finished the Star Fox portions of it as well.
Hmm.
Now that I think about it, people were referring to it when they played it that it seemed like a successor to Star Fox. And now that I think about it, it is actually strangely similar to the way that Star Fox 2 is arranged, where you basically have to go through, like, the different planets to make sure that the opposition is clear and everything like that.
Yeah.
Very similar. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. So, Chris, before I go, I would have been playing the Anthem demo.
Talking about that in a moment.
were it not for two reasons. One is the one we're fixing to get to, and the other one is that unless you have the game pre-ordered, you can't play the demo on PS4.
Hmm.
And I didn't feel like getting my Xbox One out of the closet, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's fine, though. They got a public demo that's going to be starting up this coming Friday, so.
Okay. Yep. All right, Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, so I jumped back into Octopath Traveler on the Switch. And I've been enjoying it a good bit. I've got four members of my party right now. I basically took the warrior dude and kind of just went north and got Tressa the merchant.
Oof.
And then got Cyrus the book guy, who I like his, like, special ability. Being able to sort of what they call scrutinize, where you kind of learn the backstory for a character.
Mm-hmm.
At least any of the ones that can talk in the game. And
that's not entirely true. There is a couple of animals you can do it to.
Yeah.
Okay, but just what I've seen so far, that's been the main
thing. It's
great
when he cross-examines the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of them have, like, special bonuses for doing that. Like, here's a hidden item in this area, or you get a cheaper rate at the the inn, or adds like weapons to the weapon store, that sort of stuff. That is pretty nice. But also you get like a little bit of extra story beats. Like I think in his town, the kingdom, I did that on one of the guards, and it's like, oh, he used to be part of the royal guard, but then got like a bad injury to his leg, and they put him out on an easier post. And while it's healed, he's kind of just played it up, just so he gets a less stressful day. And that was pretty nice to see, though. Then I get out of that, and then there's all of a sudden like this percentage chance to fuck it up, and then it ties into a reputation system that doesn't really. I didn't really even notice until that point. So now I just save scum it. Essentially just go back to the save.
Yep.
For anybody that's like less than 72% chance. And if I fuck it up, I just go reload it real quick and go back until it works. Never have to worry about, repairing the reputation. I did that once and it's like 5,000 gold. And I was like, oh, shit, I got to go. Fuck
that noise.
Yeah. I was lucky I was at
all of that noise.
Yeah. Luckily, I was at about like 4,200 gold. And Tressa, when you have her, like when you go to new screens, she'll occasionally be like, oh, she just found like 1,200 gold for some reason. So that's pretty nice. And that's how I ended up getting the money for that. And then from then on, I just save scummed it. And I got Ophelia, who guides people, I guess, to fill out a party. Which I don't need because she's the fourth person I have. But it's nice getting the backstory of this of these different people. Though by the fourth time, I'm kind of like a little bit worn out by it because it's just the whole way they just kind of just single you out, the character out, and you kind of just do this for a good 30 minutes to an hour without much in the way of like combat or anything. Especially if you can kind of see where it's going from the start. Like with her, it's like, oh, something's going to happen that she's going to have to go on the pilgrimage instead of her sister. And it's like, yeah, then just kind of going through it and waiting for the point that you can actually break out of it. Because it's all these characters just getting convenient excuse to leave the towns they've been in. Because the one guy, the Cyrus... The whole thing that happens is basically he gets accused of having relations with the princess. Falsely.
It happens to be one of his students.
Yeah. And falsely and by somebody that did it for slightly innocent reasons. But it's like, oh well. It's also my fault and I just got to go do this thing anyway that requires me to get out of town. Because I got to go look for a book. That he finds out was stolen 15 years ago. And yeah, that's otherwise the action, the combat system works pretty well. And so when you have Cyrus, one of the weaknesses gets revealed per encounter.
Yep.
So, but I also have the ability to use like one mana to reveal another one. So if he basically
and that's stackable.
Yeah. And for me, I've been using it such like if he doesn't have anything that's weakens any of the enemies, I just use that to fill out the gaps in their like weakness stuff, which I like that they show that up front. That's sort of the one knock I have against Persona is just constantly having to go back to remember like what this persona is weak to and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So they show it up front, which is nice. Though it is annoying when you get just the one and it's like, this is an axe. Like, I don't have anybody with a fucking axe. I don't know what and I just have to kind of wing it and try and figure it out, which sucks when you have like a group of enemies that's all different ones. Mm-hmm. So you can't necessarily, use like the spear on all of them at once. I don't have any abilities for that yet. But otherwise, now you don't have to worry about using items to refill health because Ophelia can do that pretty easily, which was just funny because I would be looking for the chest and all that, and I would go into a boss fight for one of the chapter ones with like 25 of them. It's like, well, I'm good. I have no worries at all for this thing. And yeah, that game has been a lot of fun to play. I just look at the level requirements for doing the chapter two stuff for any of the characters, and it's still like a good 8 levels ahead of me. So
yeah,
I'm gonna have to go and get the rest.
You'll get there, no problem. Trust me.
Yeah, I assume by the time I get the other 4 characters, that I'll be right around there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's.
I'm gonna tell you the same thing that I told Brandon, the same thing that I told Teresa. As soon as you get to the thief shrine, plug that into Ulbrich and just let him be his jovial, broken self.
Yeah. And I do like Ulbrich's, like his special ability. It's just like, he can just start a fight with anybody at any time.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, and they're like, wait, what? I don't want to do this. And you just beat the shit out of them. They're knocked out.
Yep.
It's like, okay, this guy's just kind of a bully.
It's also the cure for the old RPG trope of someone standing in your way when they have random movement.
Yeah, though I haven't seen anybody that's really done that. Like anybody that you talk to just...
Oh, I've done
like it. Everybody just stays in place. I don't think I've seen anybody walk around. But I do like that game sort of limits how many people you can talk to. Whereas in like, you know, the classic Final Fantasy games and whatever, they have lines for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you usually find out like most of these people have nothing to say. Here they're just like, yeah, we're just not going to give them lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's only people that have something at least mildly interesting to say.
Yeah.
And then those people, you can also just buy stuff off of them, which I think Tressa's parents have like some incredible items that replenish health or SP per turn.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like 18,000 gold. It's like, oh,
what will you get theory on?
Yeah.
He won't care.
You just steal that shit.
Yeah. Though at this point, with Ophelia, I don't really have any worry about getting health back too much because I can pretty much use her turn to revive quite a bit of health, if not more with the boost. But yeah, that game's been quite a bit of fun, and look forward to putting some more time into that. I've also been playing Cat Quest on PS4. I mentioned that was part of the flash sale last week, and I ended up buying it, and it's pretty good. It's kind of a 2D, I guess, kind of open world RPG.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place on this just one giant landmass, and you are a cat who goes around taking quests and all that sort of stuff. It's an action RPG. And basically you're a cat that has like a special mark that means you can fight dragons. And there are these, and you end up finding this bad guy that steals your sister. He's like, well, if you can beat all the dragons that I have, then I guess you can have your sister back. He's not, and there's kind of the joke that he doesn't really have anything deeper to his reasons for taking her. Like he's just kind of a superficial bad guy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so I've been going around doing quests, and it's kind of it's very much kind of like a good podcast game or Netflix game. Like you can just play it while you're having something on, you're listening to, because there's not any high stakes, too much of anything here. I just go around and take quests, do them, and, just kind of work my way, because I'm working my way to getting a higher level so I can take on this dragon, this big flame dragon, because if I kick my ass the one time. Mm. But otherwise, it's pretty low-key for the most part. It's not really, you know, going out there for story-wise. It just provides a pretty fun game for what it's doing.
Mm.
And I ended up figuring out that there are quests for each town. And they kind of keep going for a little bit, so I ended up over leveling and then going back to one of the early towns, and it's like, oh, I just go over here and just beat like 3 enemies, and they're all low level enemies. So I'm just kind of grinding out quests that way.
Hmm.
But yeah, there are dungeons. There's lots of dungeons in there, and some secret areas and such. I've been finding some of these dungeons that have like a treasure chest at the end, but you need a key, and it's like I've never seen a key for any of these things. So I assume that's something that gets introduced later on. But yeah, I have a bunch of dungeons that I've cleared out, but they just have a treasure chest icon on them. So as you know that there's you've done the main stuff, but you have to go back for when you get the keys or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I like that they don't really have too much in the way of loot. It's just specific items, but when you pick up a duplicate, it just raises the level for that item, which is something I really like when games do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Where instead of like, you know, going through these like Diablo loot, it's like, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. This one's kind of okay, but you know, you look for specific like attributes that you prefer having over just pure like stat increases. This is just like, no, if you get the duplicate, it just raises that, so you benefit out of any loot that you get, no matter what. Which is typically like a free-to-play thing. Yeah, I've been playing more Rocket League, grinding up the new Rocket Pass that started up a couple weeks ago. I also played it on the Switch, because I had the Nintendo Switch online there, and I forgot that game is ugly on the Switch. It's like, hey, what if this is like at 720p and all the aliasing is anti-aliasing is off, and it's, you know, low res and all that.
Yep.
And also the first time I was trying to play some matches, like the first 7 or 8 attempts all failed. Because we get into the match and it couldn't get the 6th player, and it's like, oh, match is canceled due to not having enough players. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
Welcome to the Switch Online.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just because the Switch is Wi-Fi only and not a great Wi-Fi connection on it. But yeah, that wasn't a lot of fun, but I eventually got into some matches.
Yeah.
And did pretty well for the most part.
Yeah.
It was just not as fun because I think it's mostly at like 30 FPS. So it runs and looks a bit worse than the others. So I ended up going back to PS4 for that, especially when I got more stuff there. But also not playing Anthem because I do have access to the VIP because of EA Access. I just didn't know about it until this morning. I just happened to be listening to a podcast and I'm like, oh yeah, you can also get it. Because if you're an EA Access member, I was like, wait, what?
Well,
and I was like, well, I'm going to download this. And it got done just before the podcast started. And I was like, looking at my emails, like, did they not send me anything about this? Like, no. The only emails I got about Anthem are about, like, new trailers.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this has been nice for EA Access to email me about. I was looking at it, and they do email me like, hey, here's a game on EA Access you should probably play.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's nice, but, you know, tell me when there's important stuff like, hey, this big, you know, important demo for a big game we got coming out pretty soon. You can play it because you're a member. Like, hey, this thing that's, you know, I'm perfect advertisement for. Because I could be telling you guys how awesome or not awesome it is.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, I found out about this morning, the last day of this thing.
Yeah. Now you have it so, downloaded, and you might, you know, after the show, you might have like a couple of hours to play it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out, seeing what that is.
Yeah.
Just seeing like I watched Giant Bomb's video, they got to play like more of a full version of the game, and the mobility you have is pretty nice.
Able
to, compared to Destiny, at least, like that's like more of a first-person shooter kind of mobility with some increased like platforming and stuff to it. But here, you can kind of like get out of scrapes by just flying away.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? I think, you know what? Since you're already talking about it, and that is going to segue into what we're fixing to talk about, we might as well just sort of go ahead and talk about Anthem itself.
Just point out the elephant in the room.
Yeah, so Anthem is basically, people, when Anthem was first started showing off, people kept you know, comparing it to Destiny. But to be completely honest, that's not really fair, because First of all, Destiny is a first-person shooter and yeah. has all of the sort of limitations that go with a first-person shooter.
Yeah, but if you show me screenshots of this and took off the Anthem watermark on it, I would be like, oh, that's a Destiny guy.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like that.
Yeah, except, you know, when you play Destiny, it's all in the first person.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anthem, on the other hand, is much more comparable to Warframe, which is also which is like Destiny, except what happens if you do Destiny right and it doesn't suck. Warframe. Oh, by the way, if you ever get a chance, play Warframe. It's completely free to play, and you know, you get a bunch of stuff available to you at the outset. So,
yeah.
The difference here, though, is that Anthem has some things that Warframe does not have. For one thing, unlike in Warframe, here you're basically Iron Man.
Mm.
Yeah. Iron Man with a gun. Like versus it being built into the suit.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, you're not limited by, you know, by having to have something underneath you. You can fly, you can glide, you can swim underwater. You can get away from a nasty enemy if they're too strong and not get completely annihilated, which I will completely admit is something that happens to me in Warframe all the time. Because you don't really have much of a good way to get away in Warframe. You have a really strong jump, but that's about it.
Here, if you're good, there are people that manage to kind of push that system to the max and get out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but that's kind of just gaming the actual system.
Yeah, those sort of people have been doing that stuff for years.
Yeah.
Like, I think Warframe, the team has been kind of specifically leaving that stuff in because they know the players like it so much.
Mm-hmm. As for Anthem, the other big difference is, of course, the writing and the characterization because, you know, again, this is a BioWare.
Yeah.
And they are the world builders of the AAA world. They do, you know, and people already admitted, yeah, this is very, like, the sort of structure is pretty similar to Destiny in that, you know, basically all of humanity that's left is walled off in this humongous city in this sort of hostile world. But the difference is that, you know, the story, of course, is completely different.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's characterization. Also, all of the stuff you do in Fort Tarsus, which is, you know, the hub world where much of the story stuff happens, is all done completely in first person.
Yeah, that's the opposite of Destiny, where the game itself is first person and you go into third person in the social area.
Yeah. Apparently, they're also supposed to add a social hub in the complete game as well. So they'll also be able to socialize in the third person as well. So,
and they might add boning in at some point.
It's BioWare, definitely. Right.
The term we used was bumping javelins.
Yeah. Hey, if they can make that out of Warframe, they'll make it out of anything. But I want to point this out. Those who have actually managed to play the actual demo have all mostly walked away with nothing but good things to say. They say the graphics are amazing, the gameplay is a lot of fun. Even Angry Joe, of all people, who is like one of the harshest online critics there are, he himself admitted, is like, once we actually got into the demo, we really had a good time. So, you know, that's promising.
Yeah.
That still doesn't excuse the shit show that happened this weekend.
Yeah, because they had issues just getting people into the demo.
Yeah. Basically, EA pulled a Bethesda, as Pat said.
Yeah. When you're trying to EA and you accidentally Bethesda.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be more like pulling a Blizzard, because they fucked up a lot of the online launches long before Bethesda was trying them? So,
well, it's not so much that they screwed up a online launch, it's the nature of that screw up.
Hmm. Well, at least they didn't pull up Bethesda in terms of announcing ahead of time.
Yeah.
We're going to fuck this up. There are going to be bugs. So sit tight and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. But basically what happened.
It's a total shit show, we promise.
Yeah. So basically what happened is, you know, the demo went live on, I think it was Friday. Mm-hmm. And suddenly people started to say, you know, look, I'm having this issue where I can't get into the demo. And even if I do get into the demo, the loading bar will be stuck at around like 95%, like in perpetuum. I keep getting like blocked out of stuff when I do in there. I've seen stuff just straight disappear. And then people started to realize that this wasn't just affecting Anthem. apparently this bug, someone said that basically this bug basically caused a kind of like re-registration process that basically ended up DDoSing themselves. Yeah. So what ended up happening is that,
and there's the Bethesda.
Yeah. It wasn't just Anthem. It was literally infecting all of Origin.
Yeah, it took down a bunch of other games.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane levels of incompetence right there.
Yeah.
And again, the sort of bugs where they're like, none of this happened in internal testing. It's like, yeah, that's why you have external testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, not BioWare's fault. That was...
That's EA's IT problems.
Play it at their feet.
Now, for the record, I went on the Anthem Reddit, and apparently there was a few dudes in BioWare who basically went above and beyond the Call of Duty to fix this crap. And,
I think they have it resolved now, so...
Yeah, it's resolved now. You can go into the demo now, no problem. Mm-hmm. Of course, keep in mind the demo
the
does...
rest of Origin?
The demo for Anthem, the VIP one, does end, I think, either tonight or tomorrow night at 6.
Yeah.
But like I said, the public demo starts on Friday, so...
Yeah, and I know the other big issue is people just have it loading errors in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know Giant Bomb was trying to do it on their Friday show. And anytime they tried to get into an actual mission, it would just hang on the loading screen.
Yep. 95%. Screen. Yep. Yeah. You just scroll in perpetuum at 95.
Constantly retry. They could get into the social area or whatever. But when they tried to actually play it, it's like, oh, well, it's not getting any further than this.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the only as we can laugh and stuff, but this is the kind of stuff that you actually want to see break now,
yeah.
instead of on the day that the game launches.
Yeah, so, like okay, we have this big issue. We can go ahead. This game goes out next, and let's say it's 27th. Comes out on
15th.
It comes out on the 22nd.
Yeah,
so that's the one game that stayed behind.
Yeah, so
about
3.5 weeks from now, they got time to fix it. So, and I am now relatively optimistic now, much more than I was, say, a few months ago.
Yeah.
As everything has come together, and basically, BioWare has made EA swear up and down that they're not going to put any, you know,
monetization.
Prohibitive monetization. Hmm. All going to be cosmetic. That's it. So, yeah, I am very much excited for it now. And I want this to do good because you and I both know what'll happen if this flops.
Yeah. Which leads nicely into our next story. This one comes from sciencefiction.com, which, Jason Schreier over on Twitter was kind of reflecting on how poorly EA has been handling the Star Wars license and kind of let slip the fact that BioWare on more than one occasion has been wanting to do Knights of the Old Republic 3, and EA has said no.
I'm starting to think they might change their tune pretty soon.
Well, a situation like this.
Yeah, there's Yeah.
If EA still manages to hold on to the license, that is.
Yeah, it may be moot by this time next year. Yeah.
Okay, so let's consider this. Since EA got the license, what is it released? It's released two games.
Three.
Star Wars Battle... Well, what?
Three.
What's
Battlefront 1, Battlefront 2, and Galaxy of Heroes.
Oh, right.
The card game.
Battlefront 1 was okay but underwhelming because it was basically just a multiplayer in a box. No campaign to speak of. And it already had some pretty obscene monetization there, but you know, it was multiplayer, so it was expected at least. Then Battlefront 2 came, and it was such a massive shit show that EA ended up getting a call from Disney CEO, which
we still don't really know the end result of. So, I mean, we know that EA technically is still supporting Battlefront 2, but they've canceled all of they have canceled all of their other Star Wars projects except for one.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if they actually haven't lost that license after all, and have one last game that they have to deliver on under contract.
Yeah,
before that happens.
Because considering that they screwed up so badly, ended up making international news.
Yeah.
I think Disney would be completely in the right to just take it from them and give it to somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it would benefit Disney a lot more to not do exclusive anymore for the Star Wars property, because
to what end would it benefit Disney to not just license it out to somebody else now, even if EA owes them one more game?
I think it would probably be just a lot of legal tape to go through. I think they'd probably want that contract to be just done and dusted, and then they can move forward with it. But yeah, unless they decide to just, you know, throw their weight around and say, okay, screw you guys. So, which is still, you know, entirely possible to happen. But at the moment, everybody involved seems very quiet about the whole matter, which in and of itself ought to be a little bit telling.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, honestly, if Disney also thought that a Coder 3 would be good, I wouldn't be surprised if they just went straight to BioWare themselves and said, look, we're gonna sort of license this to you, and we know technically EA owns you guys, but we're giving this a sort of project over to you, and we're gonna kinda sorta help keep EA at bay. Or whatever, cut out the middleman, basically.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not sure if they could do that, but interesting.
I'd like them.
If it was a condition of EA keeping the license, I bet they'd do it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They might.
Well, actually, now that I think of it, there is an issue with that, because since BioWare's A team is basically going to be working on Anthem for the next 10 years. That means they'll end up giving it to the B team, and they're the people who brought us Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, which had issues. A lot of them did get resolved, but
none
of them. Yeah, but still.
Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting, though, that we saw a teaser for Dragon Age with no EA logo on it.
Yeah.
I point that one out, so, you know, make of that what you will, but there's something going on there that we don't quite know.
Would not be surprised if in the next few months we end up hearing about a major shakeup in that company somewhere.
Yeah.
Because the failure of Star Wars Battlefield 2 is Battlefront 2 is.
No, you had it right the first time. Battlefield 2. That's pretty much what it is.
Is basically of historic proportions.
Yeah.
Like, that is the game that may have killed loot boxes for good.
Yeah. Although EA's still getting away with them in FIFA and stuff like that. But, yeah. Here's a thought. What if Disney buys BioWare out from under EA?
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Disney doesn't like to do games.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the last time they had developers, they shut them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
As long as they were, as long as they were, willing to give BioWare the reasonable amount of autonomy that they need,
and
the amount of funding that's needed, then yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that's.
I don't think
their corporation at this point. They're just trying to min-max their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just idle speculation. Anyways, so moving on, there's some Assassin's Creed Odyssey DLC came out recently, which has stirred up a little bit of controversy.
And, for good reason, too.
Yeah, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But Ubisoft has decided that they're going to go back and change a few things
to
alleviate that.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it was a game that's very much you could kind of role play your character. At least romantically, how you want it. You go be gay, whether you have Cassandra or Alexios. You could be straight, or you could just not do relationships at all if you don't want to. And that was definitely a big reason that a lot of people enjoyed that game, because they could sort of play the character how they wanted. And in here comes the Shadow Heritage DLC. And at the end, your character has a child from a straight relationship, which obviously flies in the face if you're doing, either a gay relationship or no relationship at all.
Because so they didn't even take that into account.
It's, no.
Well, but here's the thing. Apparently somebody at point did, because before the DLC was actually announced, they were already putting out apologies, because I'm guessing somewhere along the line someone realized, this is kind of messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, and those will help for people playing it in the future. Obviously, those that already went through this and were turned off by this thing, it's not really going to do much for them.
No, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, they basically said it's going to alter cutscene and dialogue choices for the second episode. For this past episode, and then for the future, they're going to change the name of the associated trophy or achievement. And so it's going to do that for people that maybe go back to look at that stuff.
Yeah.
For the people that have already gone through it and moved on, it's not really going to change anything for them.
Yeah. It's weird because this is. This just screams of like laziness to me. It's just like, okay, it would take a whole lot of extra work to take all of this other stuff into account, so let's just do this.
Yeah, I could see it be more just ignorance, not realizing exactly what the implications of what they're doing were for that part of the game.
Yeah.
Because this is all just kind of feeding it into the overall Assassin's Creed storyline.
Yep.
Of your character kind of procreating and leading towards the assassins in the later games. And which obviously is cool, but not really having the appropriate amount of awareness and context for how that happens for people that go through different routes in the story.
At least they're fixing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if they had, done the actual effort to begin with, this wouldn't have been an issue, but...
Yeah.
Is Ubisoft.
Which ended up getting companies like GLAAD involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Assassin's Creed Odyssey still retained their award nomination, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got that going for them. Okay, so next up we have a Fortnite story. Players have discovered that if you use the first-person mode, that there's some issues in there where you can apparently shoot a little bit better in the first-person mode than you can in third.
Well,
or is it the other way around?
Just frame per second.
Oh.
Yeah, so people started doing tests on the PC version at three different frame rates, 30 FPS, 60 FPS, and 300 FPS. Basically using it in the new Playground mode, where you can sort of build out your own little area.
Okay, so this is regardless of whether you're using first or third person cams.
No.
It's a whole
world. Yeah, I don't think there is a first person mode in that. I think it's, if you have a sniper rifle, it's first person.
Yeah. But,
otherwise, everything else is third person. But yeah, they put up metal walls in a line and firing a basic assault rifle at them and seeing how long it took to destroy them all. At 30 FPS, it took 27.52 seconds. 60 FPS, it took 26.08 seconds. And 300 FPS was about 0.2 of a second shorter, so not really all that meaningful. But those that are running on souped-up PCs are not really getting any advantage, but those playing at 30 FPS are at a disadvantage compared to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And as you can probably extrapolate that, that also means if you're playing on the Switch, where it's 30 FPS, you have a much worse disadvantage than everybody else. Luckily for that game's sake, you can't play cross-play natively. Mm. You have to have a party of people on other platforms to play with people on other platforms. Mm. So you're kind of jumping into that. It just basically means, like, if you have any Switch friends, they're the weak link. Unless they're really, really good. And at that point, they're probably not playing on Switch. Mm. But yeah, so people figured that out. And then people started trying to figure out, why does this happen? And people have figured out that it's a due to Fortnite being on Unreal Engine 4, now it links gunfire to frame output. The two are synced together, so when someone with a lower frame rate is using a high rate of fire gun, the number of bullets is lessened because there are fewer frames to trigger them. And it's a problem players have also noticed in Players Unknown's Battlegrounds, another UE4 game. And so Kotaku here contacted Epic about this, and like, yeah, we're aware of this, and we're working on a fix. No further details, but yeah. It's kind of an interesting way for people to figure out that there is actually a sort of native problem to UE4 in relation to shooters.
Yeah, it's not the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 26 to 27 seconds, that is a bit of a difference, but in normal casual play, you probably wouldn't even notice it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're one of the super competitive players, then yeah, that would make a difference.
Yeah, if you're actually trying to win versus, like, just completing Battle Pass quests and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, like, it's a 5.24% slower difference, which is still fairly significant, especially if you're trying to, you know, make sure you have the right guns to survive longer in that game.
I just, at this point, wonder if after Street Fighter V and Tekken 7, if UE4 hasn't been more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, it's still a solid platform to build a game on, even if it has these quirks. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just maybe not the ideal tool for every job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specialty engines exist for a reason.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, first they got to acknowledge that it's a specialty engine.
Yeah. All right. In the Kingdom Hearts 3 news, so it's coming out this week, and people have found that some people have been getting their pre-orders canceled for special editions by fine folks at GameStop.
And the reason? Because they oversold them.
Yeah.
Really not much to add to that, is there?
See, that I've worked in the retail industry, and particularly in the toys and video games corner of the retail industry.
Yeah.
We have a word called allocations that we're usually privy to from the onset of pre-orders, which is supposed to keep people from fucking up like that.
Yeah, apparently. GameStop doesn't have that.
So that, apparently. Well, I'm pretty sure they were given allocations and just had their hand in the cookie jar, thinking that, if we can sell them, Square Enix isn't going to short us on copies.
Yeah, especially waiting until the week before launch. Yeah. Like, oh, shit, we forgot to tell these people they're not getting this.
Yeah.
Because they probably knew pretty early on after the pre-order sold out.
Stupid games, stupid prizes.
Yeah. Yep.
And so they're
sucks for those people though, because I mean they plunk down, you know, some good money for that.
Yeah, and $25 gift card they're getting that's from not a GameStop. Good. Yeah,
no.
As I say here, it's not even half off the game.
No,
they were hoping to get along with the console.
Yeah.
So I hope they got backup plans. Maybe not going through GameStop for the game itself.
Because if you know, I mean, they pre-ordered that console for a reason because they wanted it. You know, it's...
use that gift card for another gift card. Use for like a PSN or Xbox Live code.
Yeah,
and get it on digital or probably not digital. But yeah, you can use it for another place.
Yeah, probably a better idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I'm not entirely sure that GameStop is even going to be around next year. If you've been following, they've been losing money in droves, basically. Yep. So
it'll exist in some form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, either they get bought out or, you know, something's going to happen because, they've got issues that really need addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they tried their hand at doing publishing, which didn't really work out all that well.
I'm just going to put it this way. GameStop at this point is just a jumble of pretty much every specialty video game store from the 1990s crushed into one. Changing hands one more time is not going to make any waves.
No. But it might change hands and end up in, you know, end up with an owner that would actually know what the fuck to do.
Right now, they're kind of the hot topic of video games.
Yeah,
they're kind of still operating like they think it's the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's not.
And really at this working. Point, they're like, oh, you're a gamer. How about 50 different types of Funko Pops?
Yeah. No, don't like Funko Pops. What about can't understand wallets? Why anybody. Nope, don't
how
like
about
those either.
Toys, clothing.
No, I'm good. Can I just have the game, please?
How about games?
How about nerd stuff?
No. Vinyl? No, don't need that either. No. So, yeah. GameStop, come on, guys. Get your act together.
Anyway. I like going on their site, and there's a tab called Cool Stuff.
Oh, God.
That's for their collectibles.
Yeah.
I go, hey, there's a Monopoly Fortnite edition. Ugh. Or a Boo beanbag chair.
Okay, I'd buy that. Yeah.
There's I guess Pop makes Pezzes now. okay.
Yeah.
There's.
All right.
There's Kingdom Hearts 3 Funko Mystery Box, $22.49, conveniently.
Yeah.
You can put that $25 towards that. Maybe Kingdom Hearts 3 is in there.
You might get the game that you actually pre-ordered.
Let's see, you get a Pop Games Kingdom Hearts Sora, Riding Heartless Wave, a Funko Kingdom Hearts 3 Keyblade 3-pack, and one of two Funko plushies, Monster Goofy or Monster Donald. Okay.
Yeah, that, no, not going to know. Just no. All right. So let's get to our last story before we wrap up for the day, and this one's a doozy, because Nintendo has kind of scrapped Metroid Prime 4 and gone back to retro to restart development of it.
Yeah, I guess Namco is working on the previous version?
Yeah.
Had been, yeah.
And for the last 3 years, I guess?
Yeah, and they said that development hadn't gone in a good place, and that it was challenging, and... they're basically just scrapped all the progress they've had and are going to, you know, Austin-based Retro Studios to redo it.
Yeah, unfortunately, after a lot of their good talents went to other places.
Yeah, which is, hopefully there's still enough of it left for them to be able to do a Metroid Prime sequel. It's weird because it's kind of actually an admission that Nintendo doesn't know how to make Metroid games anymore.
Well, I think that...
at least Prime.
That ship sailed back with Metroid Prime.
Generation Force. We forgot about that one.
Well, I still wonder what it was like to be on that team.
That had to be the single most thankless job on the planet, next to working
making
for the IRS.
That nobody wants.
Yeah, making a game from the second it was announced, everybody, all Nintendo fans hated it.
Yep. Yeah.
And who thought that was a good idea?
Nintendo.
Nintendo. Yeah.
But apparently somebody at Nintendo didn't like actually ask anybody that played games, because, yeah, Nintendo does tend to be a little insular at times.
Yeah, a little.
You know, so.
Yeah, because that was Next Level Games. It was one of their better second-party devs.
Yeah.
Who made the Punch-Out stuff. Luigi's Mansion on 3DS.
Yeah.
It's so, like, they make good games for Nintendo.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, has it ever gone well when Nintendo decided that they need to announce a game just to make sure that there's some activity going with the franchise?
It eventually has it ever worked ended out well? With Breath of the Wild. When they announced that for the Wii U.
Yeah.
But it also was better on the following platform.
Yeah.
That was the Twilight Princess effect.
Yeah. It's, but usually they don't tend to do that.
They did that. They did that with the Switch, though.
Yeah.
When they announced the new Pokemon, it still isn't out yet. So we still have no idea really what it's doing.
Yeah.
They announced the Yoshi game way too early.
Yeah.
That's finally coming out in 2 months.
Yeah, that's coming out.
They announced Metroid Prime 4, which obviously got canceled.
Yeah.
Uncanceled.
Yeah. Rebooted.
Yeah.
That was just one direct for them.
Hopefully some footage of the Namco project ends up on like the Cutting Room Floor website or something, because I'm always interested in things like that, versions of games that didn't get released, or versions of games that changed considerably during development. Yeah. So I'm hoping that the project will survive in some video form or another.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of those assets will probably end up making it over to Retro's version, because I don't think scrapping all the assets would probably make much sense.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the problem was with how the game looked or the models or anything like that. I think the
problem with Namco
was just the fact that they couldn't get it to play the way they wanted it.
Yeah, though I think it was Namco Singapore, something like that, one of their offshore studios.
Yeah.
I don't know that they have much of a reputation for making good stuff.
Hmm.
They're just mostly like a support studio. It's like, okay.
I don't know if they have much of a reputation at all.
Yeah.
They definitely don't have one now.
It's not like the mainland Japan people or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, let's put the Tekken team on this. They're always good at making non-fighting games.
Yeah.
Well, Harada's always got room for one more project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, the Namco, the Namco staff.
The beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, let's put that with Samus in there.
Yeah, that's
really shitty action game. That.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Namco Nintendo partnership thing it's nothing new, and not the first time that they've fucked it up. Star Fox Assault comes to mind. So yeah.
Hey, remember when they announced those weird tablet games for the Wii U that then got turned into Star Fox spinoff
games?
Yeah.
It's like those are probably better than the regular Star Fox game?
Star Fox Zero. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think we're still waiting on Animal Crossing at this point. That's not. We don't have any details on that.
No.
What else do we have here? I guess we know a little bit about Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Fire Emblem, I think that one probably 3
still needs details.
Yeah.
Looking over what else they have coming out. That's pretty much it. Just Pokemon, Metroid Prime 4, Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
It's kind of the most amount of games they've announced without any sort of concrete date or details that they've had in a while.
Yeah, and that all came from pretty much 1 year. Actually, that was one direct itself.
Yeah.
Then all of those were announced. And it came during a year where Nintendo didn't have a whole lot to coming out. So that's interesting. Except for, Smash, which has done well for them. So, yeah. You know.
At least it makes a lot more sense why we didn't hear about Metroid Prime 4 during, like, the Game Awards or E3 or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have anything they could show.
It's like, this looks like shit. Let's not show this.
And they at least had
they were probably getting ready to pull the plug right about then.
Yeah.
They at least had the foresight to be like, we should probably not show this.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you'd end up with a interesting Duke Nukem Forever type situation.
This looks fecal. People are going to be mad.
Yeah. And they've already had, you know, Metroid Prime Federation Force under their belt. So
the series doesn't need another black eye.
No, let's not do that again. So it's just sad because if you were expecting a Metroid Prime game in 2019, you're not going to get one. Because there's no way that they are going to be able to pull this off in a year.
I mean, they could. Devs have done that before, if you remember Crackdown 2.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a game that you would want.
No.
Yeah.
They would have to be just like, okay, hey, we still got Metroid Prime 3 code. 1080p.
Yeah.
And change some colors here.
Yeah, let's not do that. Prime 3 was probably the weakest of them, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that it relied on motion controls, and that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But
hey, I know what they
can do. Go in the Star Fox Zero. The Star Fox Zero stall, where if it was remade with conventional controls, it'd probably be pretty strong.
Yeah.
If they wanted to salvage it, they could do like a new trilogy collection just with regular controls.
Ooh. Yeah.
Take my money.
I think that's actually, given the fact that Metroid Prime 4 is going to be pushed, I wouldn't be too surprised to see them announce something like that very soon.
Yeah.
The sign of life release.
Yeah, because that would be something that they could turn around pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be nice to see from Nintendo, more like collections of some of their classic games.
Yeah.
Like I was seeing somebody talk about wanting some new Kirby stuff. It's like, hey, what about the rest of the games that weren't in that Wii collection?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of good portable stuff that's just weird and crazy that would be cool to see.
Yeah. You know, I still think a Fire Emblem anthology would be really nice to have.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Mm. Especially if they localized a lot of those early games.
Yep.
Well, if we've seen, you know, they've done they've sort of started rebooting the old Fire Emblem games by, you know.
Echoes. Sort
of, yeah. Which, you know, if you remember, one of the next games in that timeline is Genealogy of the Holy War. So.
Yes. Hmm. So. Take my money.
And I would also throw in there, like, hey, how about an Advance Wars collection?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make a new one anytime soon. Because that team is busy with their waifu games, the Fire Emblem games. Like, just put out the GBA and DS games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a collection.
Well, I mean, it's Intelligent Systems. They do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they could just kill Wargroove. It's out next week. Right away. It's like, hey, that's a game that's doing the war, the advanced war thing. Let's just put out the real thing.
Yeah.
Make tons of money. Probably doesn't really need too much in the way of flashy features or anything. Yeah. It's all just GBA DS style graphics.
GBA emulation. Even you just go ahead and.
Hey, the 3DS has that already.
Yeah, imagine that.
They just never used it for anything.
They use it.
Just as an apology for people that bought the 3DS at launch.
Yeah.
I still have those games. I still have WarioWare on there. It's like, okay, this is the best game on the 3DS.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so we'll get to our picks of the week, and then we'll wrap up for the day. Yeah, mine is going to be, non-surprisingly, Jeezy Doom, because it's awesome, and you can play it on your computer, and it looks good if you put the high-def texture pack.
Yep.
Or the 4K texture pack, if you're insane. somebody actually did that. I don't know why, but they did. So yeah, it's it runs really well. You can run it in either a software mode or OpenGL mode if that's your thing. There's a GZ Doom builder you can download and start making maps fairly quickly. If you want to get into the whole scripting thing like I have been with the project that we're working on, well, yeah, that gets a little bit more involved, but it's not that hard to learn, really. It's surprisingly, you know, if you have an afternoon to sit down and, you know, read through some wikis and puddle around a bit, you'll have a Doom map by the end of the night, you know? It's pretty fun.
I did see that somebody's trying to make The Legend of Zelda and Doom.
Yeah. That will be weird.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
It looks really weird.
I've seen a lot of very strange things made in Doom, including Doom. That just kind of bent my mind. But yeah. So that's my pick. We have anything on sale, Chris?
Yeah, so Sony put up a PlayStation Essentials sale with a lot of like recent stuff, mostly, that is on sale. I was looking at this earlier, and like Dead Cells is on its first sale. Ooh, I think it's about $13, I think it is. I'm trying to look at it real quick here. Like all the Battlefield stuff is on sale. BlazBlue Central Fiction is on sale. Burnout Paradise is down to $6 for PS Plus.
Wow! Wow.
Yeah, they've
Please
been
buy our game.
Keeping that going. Let's see, 1874 or 1749 with Plus. Pretty good deal for that. Let's see, Defense Grid 2, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
That is. Let me see.
Yeah, if you're signed in, you can't see the price.
Yeah, $329.
Yeah.
I saw that they finally got a pre-order up for the Switch version, and they got a 10% discount, so it's $18.
Yeah.
Which, seeing that $3 next to it, it's like, oh, which one should I go for?
Yeah, but you already got the PS4 version, so it's like, yeah. And the Switch
I'm just thinking, like, the average person, but it's like for almost the cost of just the Switch version, you can get both.
Yeah.
You can play one now and then play the other when it comes out.
Yeah.
Let's see. Don't Starve has their stuff on sale for some good prices. Destiny 2 and specifically Forsaken is on sale. Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition, $7. Let's see. There is, God of War is about $26.
Yeah.
It's pretty good for one of our top games of the year.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of flavors of GTA 5. Like, it's $15 for the regular edition.
Yeah.
Harvest Moon, that stuff is on sale. Hitman 2 is $40, which is a good price. Hmm. Horizon Chase Turbo is $13 on there.
Yeah. Should buy that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hmm. Yeah, like a lot of good stuff here. And this sale ends on the 5th. So you got some time to make your decisions.
Yeah.
Just Cause 4 is $42.
Yeah, I think that's probably one I'd wait to get on PS Plus, because
it's
going to end up there.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting Mortal Kombat XL, because it's $5.
Yeah, get it. For that price, go ahead and get it.
And get to enjoy the single-player content.
Yeah, which is there is a substantial amount of it.
Yeah. And I can get my Mortal Kombat fill. And just wait for the next Mortal Kombat 11L. Whatever they call that. The
Spinal Tap Edition.
Yeah.
Goes to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be pretty good. Mr. Shifty is $3 here. That's a good action game for what I've seen. I need to play that on the Amazon launcher because I have that there.
Yeah.
For free, NBA Live is back to $10. That's a good game to get. I was playing that earlier. Let's see. All the Need for Speeds. The NHL 1999 edition is on sale for $32.
Good deal.
Not bad.
I think they got a bundle here of, I think, all of the 2019 games for EA Sports for like $80, all four of them.
That's odd and oddly compelling.
Yeah. So you get Madden, you get NHL, FIFA, and NBA Live for, oh, 70 bucks with Plus. All the base editions for those. And you get 500 Ultimate Team points for the games that have that.
Yeah.
Which is all of them, I think.
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
Yeah, NBA Live 19 kind of doesn't. I think it's tied into the one mode.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where you could do like these court battles. There might be an Ultimate Team mode as well, but I don't think it's really tied into the like monetization as much as the other games are.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here if you've got holiday money you haven't spent yet for some reason.
Yeah.
You've just got 10 bucks burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah. You could do worse. So, all right.
I do find this weird. Unravel 2 is the same price as Unravel.
Yeah.
For a game that's 2 years older.
Yeah.
It's like, why is that not a little bit cheaper?
Yeah, the prices for those tend to vary.
Yeah.
It's like I have seen Unravel 1 selling for substantially
less.
Like
it's like $5 usually.
Yeah. Seems like depending on the sale, sometimes they'll just not put them.
This is them saying, hey, you should buy Unravel 2. See? It's just as much as the first game, but it's two. See, there's two characters. At double the characters.
Yeah.
Not double the game, but double the characters.
Yeah.
Half the game. Half the game for each character.
Yeah. Sometimes they also bundle both of them together.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they did this time.
Not in this sale. Hmm. The Witcher 3 keeps doing that weird thing where the regular edition and the complete edition are both the same price.
Yeah.
That's also because the saves are different.
Yeah.
So if you played the original, you can't transfer it to the complete edition.
Mm. Which is weird.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know why devs do that.
Yeah. Just get it on GOG. Yeah. It's really cheap right now.
Yeah.
Get on the PC.
So. Just looking at some of these other things. Stories, The Path of Destinies is also on
sale. It's a good game.
You see the new game from those guys?
All right. So unless that's it, we'll wrap up the show. Let's see what we have here. Yeah, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. I personally use Pocket Casts. It's a great app. You do have to pay for that app, which I know a lot of people don't like to do, but it kind of is the best podcast app out there, so it's kind of worth it. And it's only a one-time fee, so whatever. Apart from that, you can find us at smashpad.com and for some reason facebook.com/smashpad, but I don't know for how much longer, so we'll see. So yeah, for Patrick Mifflin, Brandon Perkins, and Chris Sologi, I have been Filippo D'Anolfo, and we'll see you next week.